It's been a long time. It's good to get back to Rabbeinu. Okay, Sichos Aran Lamed Tes. Roi sheyargish tsaras yachid mikol shekein tsaras rabim. Chas v'shalom. Believe. It's fitting for a person, for a good Jew, to feel the pain of an individual, and all the more so to feel the pain of the rabim, chas v'shalom, if there would be something that's impacting the larger community. And it's important to try to feel that belief. What does it mean to feel it, belief, as opposed to feeling it where else? Well, sometimes a person could feel a tzara in their mind. Intellectually, you could say, yeah, I hear why that person was probably be having a hard time. But it doesn't necessarily trickle down in any significant way that you actually feel it. Ki efshar sheyeda meyatzara chas v'shalom. It's possible for a person to know of a tzara, v'yodeya b'veirur ke'ev hatzara chas v'shalom, and he knows for sure how painful it is, and yet, im kol zeh libo eino margish hatzara klal. He doesn't feel it at all in his heart. You know why? Because we hope for when Mashiach's arrival, that Hashem's going to take the lev evan that we all have and turn it into a lev basar. So Rabbi Nachman, of course, Breslov Osios Lev Basar, Rabbi Nachman is trying to take our Lev Evan and to soften it a little bit. But Lamaisa, we all understand what he's talking about, where there's a tzara that you totally get. There's tzaras that we don't get. Sometimes a person's going through something, we don't get it. Let's say a person's going through depression. A person's suffering with depression. Now a person who's never really suffered from depression has a hard time sometimes understanding how real that can be. So someone might say to someone, like, what are you depressed about? Right? Just like, cheer up. Not understanding that it doesn't exactly work that way. So sometimes a person, bechlal, doesn't understand tzara. They've never experienced that type of tzara. It's a tzara that's hard to relate to unless you've gone through it, what the nature of that problem is. But sometimes there's a tzara that you do relate to. And it's easy to relate to. And you know, Rabbi Nachman says, beveirur. You know with great clarity what the pain of that particular tzar is. It's not abstract to you. It's very real to you. And yet at the same time, you still don't feel anything. How do you hear about a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael and not feel anything? How do you not feel anything? How is it possible? We know what that means. We have a deep understanding of what that means. It's a tzara it's not a suffix if it's a tzara. And yet sometimes we don't feel it. So again, that's the challenge of the Lev Evan that we all have, that we have today. But the goal is to try to somehow to connect the intellectual awareness of the Tzara and to actually feel the pain of another Jew, another human being, to feel it in your heart, to feel the pain of an individual, and all the more so to feel the pain if it affects many. Certainly the Tzara's Harabim, certainly, if it affects so many people, right? So then, at the very least, you should be able to feel something. How could it be that such a big thing happened that you don't feel anything? Remember, I read in the art scroll biography of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. So on page 405, it tells, it was an American, September 11th, 2001. It was an American fellow who was sitting with Nassim Tzvi, and they were informed about the attacks on the World Trade Center. And this fellow quickly got on the phone and he called his family and he got in touch and he came back to Rav Nassim Tzvi and he sat down and he said to Rav Nassim Tzvi, he said, Baruch Hashem, no one in my family was hurt. No one in my family was involved. Now the magnitude of such an attack, to respond, no one in my personal immediate family was involved or harmed, and therefore I can come back and sit down with a smile on my face. Rav Nassim Tzvi thought that was so off that he parted ways with that fellow, and he went into the Beis Medrash, and he gave a shmooze on the spot. How can it be that a person is happy simply because his own family member wasn't harmed or God forbid, killed, when you know that there's a tzara of so many people with such wide-reaching implications? How does it mechazik himself that the whole tzibur is suffering, is broken, but Baruch Hashem, nothing happened to me. Now, of course, you should feel Baruch Hashem. You should feel thankful nothing happened to you. But you don't just go about your business after that. When so many people are suffering, how does a Jew walk around with a smile on his face simply because he personally wasn't affected. And that's what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. How is it possible that a person doesn't feel, at the very least, the tzara of the rabbi, chas v'shalom? How can you not feel something in your heart? V'im eino margish, let's say you don't feel something. Tzarech lahakos harosh bekir. A person needs to what? Needs to strike his head against the wall. Now, what does that mean, strike his head against the wall? Rabbi Nachman explains. Hainu. Lahakos harosh bekiris levavo. To strike my head against the walls of my heart. Kamuva b'makom achir. As he explains elsewhere, in a piece in Likutei Moran, on the pasuk, v'yadata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha. That v'yadata hayom, that the yediyah, the understanding as it exists in the mind, should be able to be brought down to the heart. V'ashevosa el levavecha. Shetzorach lahavi adas ba'alei v'havein heitev. See, the whole Indian of das is to be deeply connected to something. So if I can't attach my das to my lev, then it's not really das. Das, by definition, means attachment. So if there's a pirud, if there's a separation between the das as it exists, let's say where maybe it's shoresh, which is in the mind, and the lev, then it's not really das. They don't really know what's going on. You can't say, I know the tzara, I just don't feel any connection to it. But you don't really know the tzara. You don't really know the tzara. And if there is a disconnect, so you have to find a way to break down that separation. Hainu lahakos harosh b'kiras levavo, to force the mind to what? To bang against the heart, to encounter the heart. Acher kach shamati b'shemo. Afterwards, I heard from Rabbi Nachman. She'amar shezel b'chinas v'yasev chizkiyo panav elakir. This is the same idea that's reflected by the pasuk in Yeshai, where it says that Chizkiyo turned his face to the wall to pray. Again, what's the wall? So of course, the Gemara in Brachos darshins that it's good to daven in front of a wall. You're less distracted. Chizkiyo actually faced a wall. But more than just the wall, what does it mean to take your panim and turn it towards the wall? Sheheisiv v'himshech ha-panim. He took his panim, namely, shu'a moach v'adas, and he turned it al kiras halev. And he made sure that the ideas, again, the idea of someone's pain shouldn't just be an idea. But Moshe Feinstein, when he would sit with people, even if he couldn't help them, he would just sit there crying. He would sit there crying. A lot of people got a lot of chizik from that. Because when Moshe said, how could I sit with a Bas Yisrael who's pouring out her heart about something and not at least cry? Because by Moshe, if I really understand what she's saying, it's not just, I hear what you're saying, that must be hard for you. But for Moshe, it was obvious. There has to be a response. It goes straight to the heart. So Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall. Says Rabbeinu, what does that mean? That he took his malach and his das, he took his panim, which is his mind and his intellect, and he turned it al kiras halev, hainu k'nizkar le'el. Ki ikra panim hi achach leva adas, shu or ha'panim k'mavur b'makom acher. He says, look elsewhere, look in Likutei Moran, Lamed Hei, and you'll see where I elaborate on this idea that the panim, that a person's panim, which literally again means his face, right? The illumination of one's face is a reflection of one's wisdom. Chachmas Adam Tayer Panav. That the wisdom of a person illuminates his face. You look at a certain person and you see, wow, that person's mom is shining. And you know that they must be a person of tremendous das. But again, a person of true das, v'yadat tayom, v'ashevos el v'vech. Yeah.
Right. You really feel that, especially among narrative. So, right. So for a lot of people, sure connected to that, the lave also, like, keeps happening over and over again. Right. Is that that same kind of detachment, or is that something else? I think so. How do we become numb to it? I mean, again, there's a bracha in the becoming numb.
Hashem allows us to become numb. That's again the lev evan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. There's a beautiful work from the son of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, from Simcha Wasserman. I actually just found a little sefer that he wrote, and the vart's in there. I'd never seen it inside. I heard the Mashpia quoted it one time, and Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, I once heard him share it one time. Right, but this idea of the lev ha-evan that we have. Right, the Leva Evan that Hashem allows us to have the strength to endure gullus and to endure hardship is a necessary tool. So yeah, then the ability to become numb as a defense mechanism that Hashem allows us to sometimes, you know, have that leiv even to protect ourselves, has a place. But in a certain sense, like, what changed between the first terrorist attack and the second terrorist attack? What changed between the beginning of a Jew getting stabbed and like being so shocking to like almost expecting, God forbid, every day to turn on the news and to find, you know, to find that something had happened, and to be surprised when something doesn't happen, right? There's a lack of, we lose our connection. So yeah, I think that's, we have to constantly channel it from Vyadata Yom, that it's just the idea that I know this is kind of, it is what it is, to the point that I'm constantly able to feel something. Look, think of Schechter, for example. Schechter can't mention the word IDF soldier without choking up. Because to him, what do you mean? That every single one of those people is putting their life on the line for Klal Yisrael, whether they're very religious or not yet so religious. Right? But these are our fellow Jews. We're going up against a very difficult enemy. And you know, there's a certain chachmas hamoach that causes a softening of the heart. Yeah.
Two questions. One, I don't quite understand what does it mean. Like, I think it's a davar or leiv. Like, you want to think about it deeply. What is that? What exactly you want from it? That's one question. Second question is, like, at least like for personal issues. That's what I do it for myself. Like, the way I take it, things like, if I can't do anything about it,
right?
I don't want to get emotionally involved in it.
That's why I mentioned the Rav Moshe. Meaning Rav Moshe,
especially like something like, for example, like last night, like someone like took, pulled like a, like a dairy thing on my inflation record, and it became free. Now I have like the punishment again. Like I don't want to be upset. Whatever, it happened. Like, there's nothing
okay
about it. Now just like, when I have to go through the process of culturing it, like, and I don't want to like get upset, because like there's nothing to do about it. It's done. So what's the point of getting like?
Yeah, but here we're talking about, that's dealing with the situation and not allowing yourself to become sad or upset or angry. That's different than when a person's going through a difficulty. One of the 48 kinyanim of Torah is Nosei Ba'olim Chavero. That means a critical component of being an authentic Jew and a Ben Torah is to be someone who's always looking to help and to carry the load of someone else. And by feeling their pain, even if you can't do anything practical, again, that's why I mentioned Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe would sit with people and just cry with them. And that was a big chizik for people. That was a very big chizik for people. About a year ago, a young woman came to speak to me about shidduchim, and I really didn't have any like good suggestions for her. In general, I don't have such good suggestions. I'm not so good. I need to work on that. And I basically sat there just listening. I had very little to say, like in terms of advice or suggestions, or. And I just sat there. And she was having a very hard time with shidduchim, and she was very upset, and she was crying. I think like the most practical thing I did for her in like the 45 minutes we were together is I handed her a tissue so she could wipe her tears. And then at the end she like thanked me profusely, just for like, meaning just being there for another person and showing that you care, and showing that on some level like your tzara is resonating with me, even if I can't do anything about it. I may not have some like magic solution to your problem. But just the very fact, like the Gemara says, Daiga Belevish, the Gemara Nyoma, Darshaning the Pasuk, Daiga Belevish, when a person has worries in his heart, Yasichen Alachir, I'm talking it out with someone else. Meaning, if you could become someone's ear just to listen to their tzara, and to let them know that it's not just, you're not only dealing with it from a intellectual perspective of like, but you're connecting to their pain, you're feeling what they're going through on some level, it helps a person. You're nosei ba'ol im chavero. You're helping to carry, you remove some of the weightiness of that tzara. You lift it off their shoulders a little bit. You divide up their pain.
Even if the other person is not aware, like in Israel, if something happens, like, I'm not crying with the family member that like lost his member. Like, I'm just like from like
a... I think from a distance also. I think even if the person doesn't know. I think as Jews we believe that we're a koma shlema, that we're one big neshama that happens to be separated into different bodies, and therefore if a Jew is feeling something in one place, I always go back, I've told you in the past, I always go back to Yaakov and Yosef. When Yosef refused Eishes Potiphar, and right, and the Torah says Vayima'ein, and he refused, I always say that's connected back to the Vayima'ein. Right before that, when Yaakov was told Yosef is dead, Vayima'ein lihit nachem. Yaakov's refusal to accept that Yosef is dead, both in a physical sense and in a spiritual sense, gave Yosef the strength to not spiritually destroy himself. He didn't know that Yaakov believed in him, the Aviv Shamar Es Hadavar. He didn't know his father was looking forward to it. Right? But the very fact that Yaakov kept the feelings of Yosef alive in his heart, I think that's the Vayimain. It was the same Vayimain that gave Yosef. And that's what it means. His father appeared to him. Right? His father appeared to him in the window. It means that he was able to mekasher himself to Yaakov, you know, because Yaakov was still thinking about him. Yaakov was believing in him. And I think it's 100% true. If you believe in a Jew, even if you don't have the ability to tell them, I believe in you, if you feel the pain of another Jew, even though you don't have the ability to sit with him or her and to actually comfort that fellow Jew, I still think it matters. I think the reverberations of the heart feel something. I can't prove that to you. Can prove that to you empirically, but I think it's true. I really think it's true. Yeah?
So why do you say that I should give us a way out of
it? Because in some ways it's just unbearable otherwise. A person will just break. There's only so much we can handle. So part of the way that Hashem gives us the strength to make it through the end of the Galus is that Hashem causes. Think about the Ikvus of the Mashiach. I once heard Rabbi Akiva Tatz said the following. You know, the Akev, the heel of the foot, is a very interesting part of the body. On the one hand, it's very sensitive. On the one hand, it's very numb. It's very numb in the sense that sometimes the heel, the thick skin of the heel, is so dense that you can literally take a needle, right, and stick it through some of that thick, dense skin, and you won't feel anything. At the same time, that same part of the foot, which is so trampled and so hardened from always being stepped on, right? At the same time, if you take a feather and you run it over the bottom of that same spot of the foot, right? The body can have a wild reaction of laughter. So Akiva Tatz said that's very true about the Ikvus of the Mashiach. On the one hand, sometimes the most serious things we're so like we don't feel that at all. The most painful things we just like scroll on to the next thing. And then, but like a funny video, you know, like to watch like some ridiculous thing on YouTube, some 15-second clip, like that really captures our hearts. While something so painful and so real, we're just so numb to it. That's the heel. That's the Akev. That's the challenge of being a Jew in the Ikvus of the Mashiach. So part of the reason Hashem gives us that ability to, you know, to laugh at ridiculous things and to be hardened towards very real things is it's a survival technique. At the end of Galus, Hashem was giving us a tool to help us make it to the end without cracking from all of the weightiness of the Galus. But again, the goal is to develop these types of sensitivities. And that's what Rav Nosson Tzvi said. You can't spend your life. We quoted the other day from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. I'll quote it again. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, it was in the Hakadamba, if you remember, to the Nefesh HaChaim. His son brought it, b'shem his father. That our father, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, used to always tell us, Shezeh kol ha'adam. This is the entirety of man's existence. Lo la'atzmo nivra. That man was not created for himself. Man was not created for himself. My only pain can't be my own pain. My pain has to be the pain of Klal Yisrael. Both individuals and the tzibur. We daven in Shema Esrei. Hashiveinu. Rifa'einu. Shema Koleinu. Everything's in Lashon Rabin. Why? Because that's how a Jew has to live his life. One of the kinyanim of Torah is Nose Ba'olim Chavero. If I'm not going to do that, then I'm not going to have the full Torah experience. I'm not living the way that a Jew is supposed to live his life. I want to connect it a little bit, since we're getting... Someone asked me, we're going to start Pesach Shirim today. So if it was up to me, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is up to me, but... We're not starting Pesach Shirim today. We're going to go back to Sanhedrin for a little bit more. But I think this piece is actually extremely connected to Pesach, as we transition now from the Yom Tov of Purim to the Yom Tov of Pesach. So much of getting out of Mitzrayim was connected to this idea. But let's start. Let me share with you an idea from Rav Meir Premishlaner. Okay, there's a little sefer called Marganisa Rabbi Meir. Rav Reuven Margolius, the Margolius Hayam of Masechet Sanhedrin, who I told you wrote all sorts of books on every sort of topic. So he put this together. Rav Meir Premishlaner. So he writes here a very interesting thing on page 76 and 77 in this nice edition. Yeah.
Let's
Wasn't there a Margolius that was the Talmud of Belshazzar?
Is there a Margolius? I'm not sure. Could be. So he brings something very interesting. Again, as we start thinking about getting ready for Pesach, yeah? Anyone pull out a Haggadah yet? Anyone? Or Shabbos, I started pulling out a couple Pesach songs. Just a little bit. To start looking around. Okay? So, says Remeir Premishlader. We know that Hilchos Pesach, Taf Chav Tes, very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Sholin Bilchos Pesach, Kodon LePesach, Shloshim Yom. It's time to start thinking about Pesach. I was talking to you the other night. I told you what the Imre Emes said when he used to get up I once read in a Hebrew biography of the Ger Rebbe. The Imre Emes, there's a Hebrew biography called the Rosh Golas Ariel. So in that sefer it says on the Ger Rebbe, as he would get up out of his seat at the end of Purim, as he'd get up from the Suda, he would get up to the words of the Mishnah that begins Maseches Pesachim. Or Larbas, Arbotkin, Esachamis, Loraner. That's how he'd get out of his seat. To go directly from Purim into Pesach. So, we have to go straight to Pesach. So, Shaul and Bilchus Pesach, it's already this man, is Pesach of all Yom Tovim. More than any other Yom Tov. There's a lot of halacha to learn. There's a lot of haggadahs to read. So, we start Shaul and Bilchus Pesach, Kodim LaPesach Shloshim Yom. It's a question if that's true about all Yom Tovim, this Shloshim Yom preparation. But certainly, it's very clear, Mr. Brewer says by Pesach, there's a lot to do. So, you better start thinking about Pesach within 30 days of Pesach. Says the Ramah, Uminag liknos chitim lachalkon la'anim l'tzarach haPesach, and we immediately start the campaign for ma'os chitim, collecting tzedakah to make sure that people who have a tzorech, they need money and they need matzah, so to make sure we're able to provide them. At the wedding, I was at a wedding, Maishi's wedding last night. Mazel in the shir. So at Moshe's wedding last night, immediately I sat down to eat. Someone came over and said he's collecting money, Moshe Chitim, for Aniyim in Yerushalayim. Okay, so we have to get started right away. But says the Meir Premishlaner, an amazing Ha'ara. He says, hold on a second. What's the shaykhis between this Ramah and what the Mechaber said? The Mechaber said, Shalim Bilchos Pesach, Kodim LaPesach, Shloshim Yom. And the Ramah says, start collecting money for the poor. So the Pashup Shad is, okay, one of the ways we start preparing, and there's maybe a lot of needs for any, so start collecting right away. But says Rameir Premishlaner, there's more here. L'chor divrei Ramah ain lam sheichas l'divrei Mechaber. Why did the Ramah put his comment here? Start learning, Hilchos Pesach Shloshim Yom. Why did he put it right next to that? Oh, by the way, start the Ma'os Chitim campaign. Shehu Ma'iri Me'inyan Adrasha. Right, the Mechaber is talking about what? Starting to prepare the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. And the Ramah is talking about collecting tzedakah. So listen, here's what he says. Mechaber, he says, Kedarko Shel Rav, Mechaber is writing to the Rebbeim, to a Rav. And what's the Rav thinking about? The Rav's thinking, listen, you know, it's almost Pesach, which means it's almost time for the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. And the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, you know, there's a lot of expectations, a lot of preparation. A lot of people come out to the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. People who don't listen all year round to my drashas might come and listen more carefully to the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. So the Rav gets very busy. The Rav may get very busy trying to have an awesome Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. Wants to say all the right things, prepare a really impressive drasha. Yeah? Both in terms of helping people prepare for the halachas of Pesach and to inspire them for Pesach. Sholim bilchos Pesach, kodol Pesach shloshim yom. But the Ramah, says the Meir Premishlaner, is thinking not like a Rav, but thinking like a Chassid. And what does a Chassid do? A Chassid, he says, is Osek B'Gemilas Chassadim. Imkein Amar, Lama Lecha Lahazir Od B'dinei Pesach, B'Vada Yisrael K'shirim Him. See, the Mechaber is saying, we gotta get ready, we gotta make sure that we learn all the halachos, we make sure people know how to keep Pesach, and we have to give a good Shabbos Segazel Drasha. And that's all very important. But the Ramah, like a chassid, comes along and he says, hold on a second. Everything's going to be fine. Everyone's going to keep a kosher Pesach. There's a lot of halachas, a lot of things that could come up. But so, of course, so, if Yisrael k'shirim him, and the Jewish people, you know, minhag avoseihem b'yadeihem, they know how to make Pesach, they'll figure it out. That's not the issue. Right? Leave Klai Yisrael alone with all the halachos. Rak adrabah. Yoser Yesh Lahazir Am Shirushiel Aniam called Sarche Pesach. More important than each person thinking about how I'm going to have the most kosher Pesach, or the Rav thinking how I'm going to make sure everyone has a kosher Pesach, or the Rav thinking about how he's going to give an unbelievable Shabbos HaGadol drasha with Lamdis and Machshava and tie it all together in some unbelievable way, says the Ramah, more important than all of that is just taking care of a fellow Jew. Because you might be so caught up in trying to have the most kosher Pesach ever, you don't realize your neighbor can't even afford matzah. So the Ramah comes along and he says, take it easy with the Hilchos Pesach. Take it easy with the Hilchos Pesach. A real Jew has to feel the tzar of someone else. Make sure you don't miss even one person who needs money for Tzarchei Pesach. And therefore, the Ramah's response to show the Hilchos Pesach, Chodim LePesach, Shloshim Yom, the Ramah's response is, make sure you take care of people. Make sure you feel the pain of another person. Make sure you're not so focused on making sure that your Pesach is so perfect that you forget about others. That tzaddik lives his life. That tzaddik looks at the world. I think I mentioned to Rav the other week. I read a maysa when the divrei Yecheskel, when the Shinover, the son of the Divrei Chaim, became a rebbe. It was still in his father's lifetime. So someone came to the Divrei Chaim and they wanted to tell the Divrei Chaim what a rebbe his son is. I ever listened to this story? It's great. I want to tell him what a rebbe, right? The Shinover, Yecheskel Shraga Halbersham. The Divrei Yecheskel, your son is such a rebbe. So Divrei Chaim says, yeah, why is he such a rebbe? He says, his gaonis in Torah, it's unbelievable, the depth of his Torah, the way he says over by Shal Shudas, it's unbelievable. Such unbelievable, you know, giluyim in Torah. So the Divrei Chaim says, so if that's true, my son is a gaon. He's a gaon, he's a Talmud Chacham. That doesn't make him a rebbe. So he says, well, but your son, when he, you should see how he davens. He davens with this unbelievable eslavas, and his avoda of tefillah is so unbelievable, it's passionate, and he's always fasting. His whole avoda of tefillah and preparing his body in such a way, it's unbelievable. He's such a rebbe. So the Divrei Chaim says, that doesn't make him a rebbe, that makes him a tzaddik. So he's a gaon, he's a tzaddik. So the fellow says, I'll tell you one more thing I saw about your son. I saw the Shinover one time. It was a cold, rainy day like today, and the Shinover was walking outside, and he saw a poor fellow shivering in the cold, and he took off his coat and he gave it to the poor guy. So the Rebbe says, "Oh, that's Rebbish. Now my son's a Rebbe. That's a Rebbe. They say nice Torahs. He fasts. He davens for a long time. It doesn't make you a Rebbe. It might make you a tzaddik. It might make you a kadosh." Make you a Talmud Chacham and a Gaon. It doesn't make you a Rebbe. A Rebbe, to be a Rebbe means you have to be looking at the pain of other people and responding to it. So if you can give your coat, you give your coat. If you can't give your coat, you give your heart. And that's exactly what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. At the very least, to feel something in your heart. So who's the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael? The Rebbe of Klal Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu's sensitivity to the pain of others is unbelievable. When Moshe is told that Paro is going to chase after them into the Midbar. But Hashem says, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. Yeah? So all of a sudden, the Jews leave Mitzrayim, and they're traveling about. And then all of a sudden, Paro starts chasing, and the Jews start crying, and they're screaming, and they're davening. But Moshe is also davening. So Sfasema says, why is Moshe davening? I understand why Klal Yisrael is davening. Klal Yisrael is davening because they're terrified. They think Paro is going to catch up to them and murder them. But why is Moshe Rabbeinu davening? You know what Sfas Emes says? But I mean, Moshe knows everything's going to be fine. Hashem just told him everything's going to be fine. I'm a heart and Paro's heart. He's going to chase after. It's going to be fine. I'll have a showdown. One last great miracle by the sea. Why is Moshe crying and davening also? You know what the answer is? Because Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Klal Yisrael is suffering. Of course Moshe knows everything's going to be okay. Right? Moshe wasn't able to tell them exactly how things are going to play itself out. But Moshe himself knew. But when he saw another Jew suffering, how could he not cry? How can he not cry with them? Even though he knows there's nothing to cry about. He sees the bigger picture. That's a leader in Klal Yisrael. That's a rebbe. When Moshe himself was in the water, and Aaron is standing on the side, right? The Medrash says, not only was Miriam watching over, Aaron was also watching on the side. So much so that the Medrash says, different than what we're used to thinking, different than Rashi and Chumash says. Remember the Pasuk says, Bas Paro finds Moshe. V'hinei nar bocha. and there was a lad that was crying. So Rashi says, a lad? He's a baby. He's not a lad. So Rashi says he has the voice of a nar, even though he's a baby. His voice is, his cry is a more mature cry, right? Like a young boy, even though he's only a little baby. But you know what the Medrash says? Who's the nar bocha? Who's the nar bocha? A young boy was crying? Aaron, his brother. And that's what Baspara says. If when she saw the way that Aaron was standing on the side crying, that's how she knew he was a Jewish baby. Isn't that amazing? When she saw that there was a Jew standing on the side crying, a helpless Jew, standing on the side crying, she said, this must be a Jewish baby. Because only a Jewish heart could have that type of sensitivity. Just to cry, just to feel with another Jew. To feel the pain, to be there along with another Jew. You know, there's a famous Sichas Musar that Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz gave in 1971, Tavshin Lamed Aleph. Parshas Bo. Maybe you've heard this verse before, but it's kedai to repeat. It says that when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yatzaveim el b'nei Yisrael v'el paro. Hashem commanded b'nei Yisrael and paro that it's time to leave Mitzrayim. So the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Yerushalmi in the third paragraph of Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, it sounds like there's two commands here. There's a command to paro to let the Jews go, and the Jews were also commanded something. What were they commanded? Just to leave? That's not a command. It sounds like they got a mitzvah. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah Perek Gimbal Halacha Hey. Says the Yerushalmi, they were commanded Al Parshas Shiluach Avadim. The Jews were being commanded at that time as they leave Mitzrayim on what? On the halachos of freeing a slave, of Shiluach Avadim, the rules of Avadim. They were being commanded in Mitzrayim about slaves. Did the Jews have slaves? So the Meshech Chachma has a very interesting hesber of that. Ayin Shah. But Pashup Shad is no Jew actually had a slave. They weren't being commanded to practice it right now. The Jews didn't have slaves. Right? I mean, it'd be very strange to imagine that anyone in Mitzrayim, any Jew in Mitzrayim had another slave. The Pashup says they're being told, in the future, when you have slaves, you should know these are the rules. So it says of Chayim Shmulevitz, Parshas Bo, Tavshin Lamed Aleph. Why did the Jewish people need to be told right now? No one has a slave. Why can't they just be told about the mitzvah Shiluach Avadim Har Sinai? Why do you have to tell it to them now? However, what's the obvious answer? You know that you can answer every question in the Sichas Musar? The godless of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said he asks questions. Once he asks the question, you say, you know the answer before he even answers it. Everyone knows the answer to the question. Right? You know the answer to the question I just raised. Why dafka, when there were still slaves in Mitzrayim, are they being commanded in the midst of Shiluach Avadim, if it's not Nogeya yet? The answer is because right now they feel the pain of what it means to be an Eved. And Hashem wants them to carry that feeling with them, to have that sensitivity, that in the future, when they are slave owners, that's why the rules of a Jewish slave, of how a Jew treats his slave, are so precisely governed by the Torah. There's so many rights for slaves. Because Hashem wants the Jewish people to remember what it was like. Don't forget, I'm telling this to you now. Because eventually you're going to start to forget what it was like to be a slave in Mitzrayim. I want you to have a certain sensitivity so you'll be able to relate more deeply to the sorrow of someone else. When the Jewish people looked at each other and started to care about each other, that was when we got out of Mitzrayim. The moment the Jews started caring about each other, that's when we got out of Mitzrayim. However, this is all Pesach Torah. Rabbi Nachman is helping us transition from Purim to Pesach. It's very, very beautiful. The Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally cares, right, Kivyachal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally hears the cries of B'nai Yisrael. Did you ever notice the Pasuk says at the beginning of Vayera, V'gam ani shamati esnakas B'nai Yisrael? What's the V'gam? V'gam ani, I also heard the cries of B'nai Yisrael. You also, in addition to who, Hashem? The answer is that the Jews heard each other. When Hashem saw that they were listening and hearing the cries of one another, then Hashem said, Gam ani, shamati esnakas b'nei Yisrael. The Rishner used to give a mashal. The Rishner said, mashal amal davar doma. Imagine two brothers. Two brothers, one's quite successful, very wealthy. Not that that's what successful equals based on yesterday's piece from Kluger, right? But by the eyes of the world, yeah, he's very successful. The other one's mamish, a poor person. And the poor brother comes to his rich brother, and he says, you know, do you think you could help me out? So he says, I don't recognize you. He says, you don't recognize me? I'm your brother. He says, no, I don't recognize you. He said, what are you talking about? I'm your brother. I need your help. I'm desperate. I'm so poor. I desperately need money. I don't know who you are. I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. A couple days later, the rich brother goes to speak to his father. Yeah? He comes to his father and he says, Dad, I want to talk to you. He said, Dad, who are you? He says, I'm your son. What are you talking about? He said, I don't recognize you. He says, Dad, what are you talking about? I spoke to you on the phone yesterday. I came to talk to you last week. What do you mean you don't recognize you? He says, no, I don't know who you are. He says, you know, what are you, you know, Nebuch, Alzheimer's. He's getting senile. So he says, the same way you don't recognize your brother, then I don't recognize you as my son. So said the Rishner, that's a pshat in this pasuk. V'gam ani shemati es nakas b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, I can't recognize Klal Yisrael as my child. I can't take you to Har Sinai and make you my children until you recognize each other as brothers. Once b'nei Yisrael started looking towards one another and caring about one another, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'gam ani shemati es nakas b'nei Yisrael. Then I can also hear the cries and the pain of Klal Yisrael. But again, until we were able to look at one another, until the Jewish people looked at each other, there was no possibility of a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking care of us. All right, let me tell you two more things. Tell you two more quick things. One is a bar from Rav Yonos and Eibshitz. In the Teferis Yonos on Parshas Va'era, he has an amazing bar. Who was disconnected from the pain of the Jews of Mitzrayim? We just said a moment ago, the reason Hashem commanded the parsha of Shiluach Avadim while they were still in Mitzrayim so that they could relate to it, because they themselves were slaves. It's the same reason the Medrash offers why Moshe Rabbeinu set up and felt so connected to the mitzvah of Ari Mikla. Because when Moshe was in trouble in Mitzrayim and Paro wanted to kill him, when Paro found out what he did to that Mitzri, Moshe ran to Midian. Midian was his Ari Mikla, was his Ir Mikla. So Moshe felt connected to a city of refuge. When a person goes through a tzara, it's easier to connect to something. But says Rav Yonos and Eibshitz the following chiddush: who wasn't suffering in Mitzrayim? Who did it? Leviim. Paro had an unusual system for a variety of reasons, right? That maybe it was because the priestly class in Mitzrayim was also honored, so he honored the priests of the Jewish people. That could be one explanation. The Chizkuni says a hilarious thing. The Chizkuni says, you know why Shevet Levi got out of it? I always find this Chizkuni to be unbelievably hilarious. The Chizkuni says, you know why Paro didn't enslave Shevet Levi? Because they were worthless. They were a bunch of kolniks. They didn't know how to do anything other than learn. So Paro says, come, let's build some pyramids. They're like, how do you do that? He's like, just forget it. Just go learn. That's what Chizkuni says. They didn't know how to do anything other than learn. So Paro said, like, I'm not going to waste my time. I don't have to train you. You only know one thing. You only know how to sit in the base medrash. But that saved them. That's what Chizkuni says.
That's right.
See with your own eyes if you don't believe me. Okay, but a variety of reasons. So says Rav Yonos and Eibshitz, you know why Levi wasn't enslaved? This is unbelievable. Listen to this. It's in the Teferis Yonos from Rav Yonos and Eibshitz. He says, Paro knew that the Savior was going to come from Shevet Levi. So Paro had the following cheshbon. Paro said, if I don't enslave Shevet Levi, then the Savior is not going to be able to relate to what? To the people who are suffering. And he's not going to be able to save them. Because how can I come and save you from your plight if I don't relate to your plight? The chiddush says of Yonos and Eibshitz and Moshe Rabbeinu is that he had the ability, despite growing up in Paro's palace as a prince, as a grandson of Paro, like it says in Kohelet Rabbah, despite that, he was able to overcome his disconnect and to feel in the deepest way the pain of Klal Yisrael. That's what makes a great leader. That's what makes Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the Sfarno says he's called Moshe, not only because he was drawn from the water, but because he's going to draw other people out of their tzara. The chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's not just stop, he didn't draw people out of their tzar. Moshe had the ability to relate to people who he couldn't relate to. He didn't really, it didn't make sense that Moshe should understand what they were going through. Be prepared to put his life on the line for people who were suffering in a way he knew nothing of. And yet the chiddush was, he had the ability to connect so deeply to Klal Yisrael. To be able to know what they're going through without them even being able to explain it, without him understanding it fully. To be able just to look at another person and to know what they need. Rav Moshe Leib Sasser one time was in an inn. He's a great Ohev Yisrael, Moshe Leib Sasser. Chusu again, Aleinu, was a tremendous, tremendous Ohev Yisrael. He said he was sitting in an inn one time, sitting in some tavern, and he heard these two Russian fellows talking to each other. Igor and Ivan. So Igor says to Ivan, he says, Ivan, do you love me? He says, of course I love you. I love you like a brother. I love you more than anything in the world. So he says, you really love me? He says, yeah, of course I love you. Would you do anything for me? He says, of course I would do anything for you. So he says, you don't really love me. He says, what do you mean? I'm telling you, I would do anything for you. He says, no, I know that you don't really love me. You're not a true friend. He says, I don't understand. Why do you say that? He says, because you keep saying that you'll be prepared to do anything that I tell you to do. He says, but a true friend knows I shouldn't have to tell you what I'm going through for you to understand the pain that I'm in. If you see that I'm upset, right, you should be able to know. If you really love me, you really care about me, you really know who I am, you really deeply connect to my tzar, you should be able to take one look at me and be able to feel in your heart exactly what I feel. To fully connect to the pain, even if it's a pain that you yourself have never experienced. When Moshe looked at Klal Yisrael and felt deeply, deeply connected to them, despite the fact that Shevet Levi, who befraught Moshe Rabbeinu growing up in Paro's palace, like his grandson, seemingly should have been very, very disconnected from the whole thing. So, chaver, this is the avoda of coming to Pesach. This is the avoda of Sichas Aran Lamites. I want to just conclude. Let's go to Kuf Pei Ches and Sichas Aran for a second, just very quickly, because it's very connected, and then we'll stop. I'll tell you one last story. But in Kuf Pei Ches, very quickly, Rabbi Nachman said, Omar, Shepliya Beinai in Mevian Pidyon Le'echad Mesaper Lo Tzaro Kigon Mechola Mechola V'Kiyote She'ino Margish Atzar V'Yisurin Kamo Achol Abat. Rabbi Nachman said, it's a pella in my eyes how a person could take a pidyon, a rebbe, a tzaddik, someone comes to him and he gives him a little pidyon, he gives him a little bit of money, right, as was the practice, as is the practice, and he tells him about his illness, and he wants the rabbi to remove his tzar. But says Rabbi Nachman, it's a wonder in my eyes how a person can take a pidyon and hear about a person's tzar, let's say an illness, for example, or whatever yisurin that they're going through, and to not feel the same pain that the chole himself feels. That's not a rabbi. How can you take a pidyon? If you can't fully feel what the person's going through, so how do you set yourself up like a rabbi and take pidyonos? Vayotze midvar v'hu, Shehu margish atzar vayisurin, kishuban lafanav shiispal alchola v'kiyotze kamo alchola ba'atzo mamish. What's clear from the fact that Rabbi Nachman said this is that apparently he felt that way. That when a chola would come before him and spill out his heart, Rabbi Nachman felt mamish, the pain of that chola. He mamish felt it. Kishuban lafanav shiispal alchola, someone said daven for a chola, Rabbi Nachman mamish felt what that chola was going through. V'cheinishma yipiv kam upon him. So we heard from Rabbi Nachman on numerous occasions. Rabbi Nachman says, at the beginning I davened to Hashem that he should take away the lev evan, that I should be able to feel the pain of my fellow Jews. You realize Rabbi Nachman davened over this? He davened that he should be able to feel the pain of another person. And now, says Rabbi Nachman, Achshav, Kishe'echon Mesaper Litzaro, Ani Margish Ba'atzmi Atzar Yosem Imanu. Now when someone tells me their pain, I feel it more than they feel it, than the person himself feels it. U'mamish Notzun Imani Domim Yigodol Atzar. I mamish lose blood over this. Shani Margish Yosem Imanu, I feel the physical pain that the person is going through. Ki hu yachol lachshav machshavos acheros v'lishkoach hatzar, aval ani margish mehod kenizkir el. Because even the chole will do things to distract himself from his illness. But Rabbi Nachman said, I don't distract myself from his illness. I focus on his illness. I live with it. And I daven over it. and I feel the pain that the person is going through. The Chol has a right to distract himself from his own pain. Rabbi Nachman says, as the Tzaddik, I don't have a right to distract myself from that person's pain. And Imamish lived with it. We know Rabbi Nachman did not live a very long life. It says in the last three lines, Va'amar le'echad mehanashav, shebikesh oso shalo yishkach oso. One time, one of Rabbi Nachman's Talmidim, his Hasidim, his disciples, was leaving. And he asked Rabbeinu, don't forget me. Please don't forget me. Ona va'amar, Rabbi Nachman said, Eich efshar lishkoach echad mikem, how could I possibly forget any one of you? Halo kol echad ve'echad yeshlo etzli makom b'libi. Every single one of you has a place in my heart, a permanent place in my heart. Charos aluach libecha, etched into the chambers of the heart. That's where Rabbi Nachman lived with his fellow Jews, and befraught with the pain of his fellow Jews. So I'll just end with one of my favorite stories I tell every year on Pesach. It's an unbelievable story. In April 1945, the Skolena Rebbe was in a DP camp in Chernivtsi, which was, I think, Romania at the time. So the Skolena Rebbe was trying to prepare. It was April. It was you know, right around Nisan time. And he started to start figuring out how he's going to get matzah. And with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, he had a guy to go and to get and da-da-da-da-da. Eventually they got some flour, they got some grain. They made some flour. The Skolena Rebbe baked matzahs, obviously a very limited quantity. And the Rebbe, everyone knew the Skolena Rebbe has matzah, Skolena Rebbe has matzah. Everyone was coming to the Skolena Rebbe to get matzahs. And he was giving out very precise. He did not have enough to give extras. All of a sudden, one day, the son of the Sarat Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Rav Baruch Hager, was the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, so his son, Rav Moshe Hager, comes to the Skolena Rebbe and says, I need matzahs for my father. He was in another area, you know, a couple miles down the road or whatever. But he heard the Skolena Rebbe has matzahs. So Skolena Rebbe says, okay, for your father, the Sarat Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Bischus. He gives him three matzahs. Rebbe was only giving three matzahs for the Seder. That's it. Three matzahs. So Rav Moshe Hager says, Shkoyach the Skolena Rebbe. But my father said he needs six. Skolena Rebbe says, no one gets six. Not even your father. Nope. So Rav Moshe Hager says, that's nice that you want to say that. But my father told me, don't come back without six matzahs. So my father, the vision of the Rebbe, he wants six. Skolena Rebbe says, I'm not giving six, I'm giving three. And he pushed. He said, I can't leave until I have six. I promised my father. My father made me a shliach. My father wants six matzahs. Skolena Rebbe says, I can't give six matzahs. It's just not fair. So my father wants six matzahs. This went on for a little while. And finally, Skolena Rebbe said, nope, Vizhnitzer Rebbe will need six matzahs. Okay, I'll figure it out. In the end, he gave the son of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe six matzahs. Fine. Erev Pesach, all of a sudden, Skolena Rebbe looks up. And he sees the son of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe coming down the road again. He says, oh no, he's back for, you know, three more matzahs. He looks up and he sees he's carrying with him a little bundle. So he comes to Skolena Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I want to give you back three matzahs. So he says, what is this? I told you three matzahs, you stood here for an hour, you held up the whole line, you were fighting me for three extra matzahs, I gave you the three extra matzahs. Now you come back out of Pesach, you say, no, we don't need six matzahs, we only need three matzahs. What's going on here? So Rabbi Moshe Hager had a huge smile on his face. He said, you know my father's a big tzaddik. My father's a very sensitive person. He said, my father knows you, Skolena Rebbe, very well. And he knows what a fine person you are. And what a generous person you are. And my father was absolutely sure that you were going to give away all the matzah, not even save any matzah for yourself. So my father took three matzahs in advance to hold them for you to be able to give it back to you on Erev Pesach. He says, tell me, Skolena Rebbe, honestly, do you have any matzah for yourself? Skolena Rebbe had a big smile on his face. He said, truthfully, I don't have any matzah for myself. I gave away my last three matzahs. So he says, I'm kosher with Samaya. He gave Skolena Rebbe the matzahs. And he went back to you with his father. That level of sensitivity, that creates gula. That's mamish what Rabbi Nachman wants us to feel, to be able to know without Igor and Ivan. The Moshe Leib Sasser said in the inn that day, he said, I learned that day what it means to be a friend. What it means to love another person. What it means to feel the pain of another person. That's the avoda. Rabbi Nachman took a lot upon himself. At least we can take a little bit upon ourselves. So very practically, I think we should all try today to think of someone. To think of someone. We all know someone. maybe someone in the room, to think of someone who's going through a hard time, right? That you know that something is upsetting them, or you know they're going through a particular difficulty, and to daven a little bit for them, right? With like a little extra kavana, and maybe to reach out to someone today. To reach out to someone who you haven't made contact with in a while, and you just want to give them chizuk, to let them know that you're thinking about them, and you're connecting to whatever tsar they're going through. Just a little something, even if it's a text message, or if it's a parak of tehillim on their behalf after mincha or something today. Okay, so b'nei adam, we'll all be makabel upon ourselves to do something. To be noticed in bolim chaveo. And b'rit Hashem, we'll be zocha to come to the Yom Tov of Pesach in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh.